Well, good morning, auditorium class. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me this morning to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, we're in a series on Sunday mornings in Sunday school entitled Freedom from Bondage. And today we're going to talk about out of doubt, freedom from our doubt. I hope you will pray for the Weavers as they are out of town. Mrs. Weaver's brother-in-law passed away, and so we need to be in prayer for them as they're traveling and as they try to comfort their family. And Miss Esther, we will all be praying for Jimmy Winters, our former song man here at Worth Baptist Church, who is struggling with COVID. Been in the hospital 11 days, Esther said, so he needs our prayers. If you've ever met Brother Jimmy, you know he is a lot of fun and a wonderful Christian man, so we'll certainly be praying for Brother Winters. Well, when we think about Moses, we often think about a confident, charismatic leader, don't we? We think about Charlton Heston with those tablets in his hands coming down from the mount, really the personification of a leader. We think about the guy who in great boldness and courage stood before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Well, it might surprise us this morning to discover that when God found Moses at the burning bush, he found a man that was full of doubt and insecurity. The interesting thing is that before God can deliver Moses from Pharaoh, he must first deliver Moses from his doubts. And we're the same way. You might be filled this morning with some doubts and insecurities yourself. Maybe you'd like to believe that God wants you to have a stronger marriage, but after all these years, you doubt that anything can change. Maybe you'd really like to be a gospel witness, and every time someone preaches on soul winning, your heart gets stirred about it, but you just feel like you're not outgoing enough or talkative enough. Maybe you're going this morning through a season of difficulty and trial. Many are. But you're struggling to see how God could bring anything good out of this, and you're struggling to keep your faith in God. Can I just say this morning that doubt is not a good dwelling place for the Christian? God does not intend for us to live in doubt. He intends for us to live by faith. And with God's calling in life will come God's enabling. One of my favorite quotes is that God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And whatever it is that God has called you to do, you may feel insecure about it. You may feel unable to do it. But God does not qualify the called. Or excuse me, call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Let's look first of all at Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And we'll notice the reluctance of Moses. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Remember the context of this passage. Moses has turned aside to see a bush that's burning and not consumed. God has spoken to Moses out of the bush and told him that he has a higher purpose for his life. He spent the first 40 years in Egypt as a prince of Egypt thinking he was a somebody. Then he spent the next 40 years of his life on the backside of the desert learning that he was a nobody. Now God shows up at the burning bush and tells him, the next chapter of your life, Moses, you're going to deliver the people. You're going to go and lead them out of Egypt, and you're going to learn that God can take a nobody and make him a somebody. God says, Moses, I have a higher calling for you. Well, like most of us, if we were given a monumental task like Moses was given, we would respond with some reluctance. God, I'm not sure I'm qualified. I'm not sure I can do this. It's interesting in verse 1, Moses does not say, "What if they won't believe me?" He says, "God, they won't believe me." In other words, he is actively contradicting God. He's not just questioning God, he's challenging God. Yet God is very patient with Moses' doubt and assures him that God can in fact use him even though he doubts it. And aren't you glad that even in the times in life when we've said no to God and we've challenged God, that God has been very patient and helped us through our doubts? Well, notice in the first place, Moses' doubt was the result, first of all, of a lack of faith. His reluctance to accept his new assignment was really a lack of faith. He didn't think that the people would listen to him. He was unsure of himself. And we can think of a lot of reasons, perhaps, why he was so insecure. Maybe it was because of his past. You remember several years ago, Moses had murdered a man in Egypt. Maybe it was because of his present. Maybe it was because he wasn't a gifted public speaker and he doubted that he could really lead people without that gift. Whatever the reason, Moses felt insecure and unable to carry out God's calling. Moses was right about one thing, however. He was unqualified on his own. And the truth is that God wasn't calling Moses to deliver Israel. God was only looking for someone who would be a witness. And I would just say to you today that many times the root of our insecurity is that we expect to do God's calling on our own. I would remind you, God hasn't called us to be the deliverer in our homes. He hasn't called us to be the deliverer in our friendships or our relationships. We're only witnesses. And just remind yourself, in the Christian life, we don't save people, do we? That's beyond our power. We don't change people. That's beyond our power. We simply point people to the one who can save them. We simply point them to the one who can change them. And that's all God was calling Moses to do, to point people to God. I love what Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I love that. Our confidence, folks, is in Christ. It's not in our abilities. It's not in our talents. God has saved us, and he has something for us to do, and he will accomplish that through us if we'll cooperate with his work in our life. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Whatever God has called you to do, he will empower you to do. He's the one that will do it. You just need to yield to him. It's true, folks. Every Christian goes through seasons of doubt. Did you know that? We all go through seasons where we feel insecure and maybe even doubt. Perhaps you've heard the name G. Campbell Morgan before. We quote him from time to time. He was a great preacher of the past. G. Campbell Morgan had already enjoyed some success by the time he was 19 years old. He was already preaching. But then he came to a real crisis point in his faith when he was teaching at the Jewish Collegiate School for Boys. Liberalism and German rationalism were becoming the accepted norm in many schools and seminaries, and questions of doubt were beginning to plague Campbell. Are the accounts of scriptures true? Is the scripture really inerrant? Did the miracles really happen? He began to ask some of these questions. Well, after struggling through those questions regarding the reliability of the Bible, Morgan finally turned directly and solely to the Bible for help. He set aside all the books that he had been reading on both sides of the argument. He went down to a bookshop where he picked up a brand new Bible. He returned to his room to study it and it alone, and he thought to himself, I'm no longer sure that this is what my father claims it to be, the word of God. But of this I am sure. If it be the word of God and I come to it with an unprejudiced and open mind, it will bring assurance of my soul to itself. In other words, I'm going to go to God's word and I'm going to ask him to reveal it honestly to me. And indeed, as Campbell studied God's word, his faith was confirmed, and he knew from his experience that the Bible was the word of God. And folks, you too may go through a season of doubt. It may be intellectual issues. It may be emotional issues. It may be issues in your own personal experience. You may be in a season of doubt right now. But just remember, doubt is a lack of faith. Doubt is a lack of faith. That's what it is. And you know what your doubt wants to do? It wants to separate you from your Bible. You know why? Because the Bible is where faith comes from. Romans 10:13 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in times of doubt, you're going to be tempted to be separated from your Bible. Don't do that. Press into your Bible, because that's where faith is born. If you're going through a season of doubt, doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. Have faith in God, and he will bring you through. Part of Moses' reluctance was a lack of faith. I notice in the second place, Moses had a lack of vision. And this is often a problem in our lives. Moses could not imagine a possible scenario where the people would respond to his leadership. He just couldn't see what God saw. He failed to see God's vision for his life and for the people. We're reminded of that classic verse, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And I want you, if you will, on your notes there to circle the word vision. And then I want you to circle the word law. And I want you to connect those two things. Vision is biblical understanding of a matter that allows us to see it the way God sees it. Sometimes we think about vision as being a character trait that belongs only to like a visionary leader. Okay, that's not what biblical vision is. It's biblical understanding that helps us to see any matter the way that God sees it. And anybody can get a vision by spending time in God's word. We don't naturally see things the way God sees them. The Bible says that we are blinded by sin. Did you know that that's one of the things the Bible says that sin does to us constantly? That we are in a blind condition because of sin. So what we have to do as Christians is we have to spend throughout our lifetime hours in the scriptures getting a vision adjustment, having God open our eyes. If we don't, the Bible says where there is no vision, the people will perish. If a mother and father don't learn to see their home from God's perspective, their children may perish. If church members don't see the church the way that God sees it, as a disciple-making hospital for sinners, then people in the community will perish. And in our passage, if Moses doesn't get a vision for the children of Israel, an entire generation of Israel will perish. Vision is important. Now, why is it that Moses struggled to see what God saw when it came to his potential? Well, the author of our study, Dr. Paul Chappell, says that one possible reason is because of failure in his past. If you'll remember, like we alluded to a moment ago, it was 40 years before when Moses had actually murdered an Egyptian. This Egyptian was oppressing an Israelite, and he thought that no one saw him when he carried out his dark deed. Exodus 2, 13 and 14 tells us what happens the next day after his murder. It says, and when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. They were fighting. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? Why are you hitting this guy? And he said, who made thee a prince and judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely the thing is known. Think about it. What is it that they were questioning? They were questioning Moses' ability to lead the people. They said, who set you over us? They knew that this sin had disqualified him from leadership in the sight of the people. And here he is 40 years later, but still with that gigantic failure in his life. And that failure blurred his vision for what he thought he could do. Now listen, you may have some failures in your life. We all do. If you're here today, I hope murder isn't one of them, or they let you out early on good behavior, okay? Most of us have failures in our life. They're typically not as big as the one that Moses had. The point is, don't let your past blur your vision for the future. Don't let what happened in your past blur your vision for the future. You know, Paul had a tough past, didn't he? He wrote in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, if you're going to move forward and serve in the Lord, you're going to have to learn to put your past behind you. You're going to have to get over your past. I heard a story about a 12-year-old who was throwing stones, and he accidentally killed one of the family geese. His sister saw him. He thought he had gotten away with it, but little sister saw him. Every time their mother asked her to do something around the house, she would threaten the boy to tell her parents and make him do the chore. Mom would say, daughter, I want you to wash the dishes. And she'd make a little throw-in motion to the boy. Like, I'm going to tell mama what you did when you killed that geese. So for weeks, the little boy did all his chores and all his sister's chores too. One day, mom asked to wash the dishes again, and the little girl made that throwing motion about throwing the rock at the goose. She said, Billy, don't you want to do the dishes tonight? Billy said, no, I told mom all about the goose, and she forgave me. He put both of his hands in the air and said, I'm finally free. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word confess simply means to agree with God about the matter. You recognize that it was a sin. You know what it did to your relationship with God, and you don't want it anymore. You bring it to God. And when you do that, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If there's a sin in your past that you've confessed to the Lord, God's forgiven it. And thank God he's forgotten it. And don't let what happened in your past blur your vision for what you could do in the future. We all have failures in our past. Well, I noticed, first of all, this morning, the reluctance of Moses. I noticed, in the second place, the revelation of God. Moses was having trouble believing God's word, so God is going to enter in the next few verses and confirm his word to Moses. We see in verses 4 and 5, his power demonstrated. Look at verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Now, we see, first of all, God's power demonstrated. I love that question in verse 2, and I think every preacher loves to preach on it. I'm going to resist that urge this morning because we got to keep moving. Moses, what is in your hand? Can I tell you, friend, God can do a lot with whatever you have to give him, even if it's just a little. All Moses had in his human possession was a rod. And all God needed Moses to do was give all of that rod to him. Moses probably felt like, as a poor shepherd, he didn't have a lot to give God. By the way, neither did the little boy who just had a sack lunch to give Jesus one day. And you may feel like you don't have anything worthwhile in your hand either. Not a lot of money, not a lot of talent, perhaps. It's not a matter of how much you have. It's just a matter of whether you will yield what you have to the Lord. That's the issue. That's why God asked Moses what was in his hand. When Moses replied that he had a rod, God told him, throw the rod on the ground. And as soon as Moses did, the rod became a serpent. Commentators believe that the snake was most likely a cobra. And the cobra was an ancient symbol of Egyptian power. It showed their power. This was a frightening moment for Moses, the Bible reveals, because he ran away from the snake. Notice how the miracle continues. It says that when he picked up the serpent, verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Would you want to do that? Anybody, any of you ever dealt with a snake before? Put out your hand, pick it up, Moses. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And notice the purpose of the miracle, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. What was it Moses lacked? Faith. And when God challenged Moses to obey God and he dared to do it, a miracle happened. He reached down, he picked up that snake, and it turned into a rod again. I love what A.W. Tozer said. God is looking for people for whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things that we can do by ourselves. It's as if through this miracle, God was saying, Moses, I know you have your doubts, but don't forget who I am. Don't forget what I can do. Well, then in verses 6 and 7, God does another miracle. Look there. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Verse 8, and it shall come to pass that if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. God shows his power in another way. Leprosy, of course, was the most feared disease of the ancient world. Leprosy was in Moses' day what COVID-19 is in our day. And it's interesting, for all the wisdom and intelligence and academic excellence of the Egyptians, their physicians and sorcerers had not yet cured leprosy. And it was as if God was saying through the snake and through the leprosy, I can surpass the power of the Egyptians with just one touch from my hand, Moses. And I can surpass the wisdom of the Egyptians with just one wave of my hand. Moses, I know who they are. Don't forget who I am. And I would just say to you today that whatever the source of your doubt or your insecurity, do not forget the source of your power. Do not forget what God can do through you. God demonstrated his power to Moses. I noticed not only was his power demonstrated, but his promise was declared. He said in verse 8, if they won't believe the first sign, they'll believe the second. Look at verse 9. And it shall come to pass that if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So God here is making another promise to Moses. He says, just in case the people don't believe these first two miracles, I'm going to give you another miracle to prove my power, and they'll believe that one for sure. You know, folks, we're much too like Moses and the children of Israel. In the Bible, God's given us many great and precious promises. We often doubt them, don't we? Let's be honest, all of us doubt them. For instance, we doubt that perhaps a spouse can be saved, or that a prodigal child can ever come back to God. But hasn't God promised in his word that with him all things are possible? Is there anything God can't do today? Maybe you're here today and you feel exhausted and emotionally run down. But did you know that God has promised that you can bring your burden to him and find rest for your souls? Sometimes we doubt that. Maybe you feel overwhelmed today by grief or sorrow. And when we go through seasons of loss in our life, we feel like we just can't keep going another day. Don't forget, God has promised that as your days, so shall your strength be. There will never be a day when you have more day than strength. He has promised that his grace will be sufficient for you every single day. Can I tell you something? The universe doesn't run on our feelings or our doubts, but it does run on the Word of God. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews. Through faith, we understand that God established creation through his Word. Let me ask you this morning, if God's Word can keep the planet spinning and the sun rising and the grass growing and the bees buzzing, then can't God's Word give you the hope and strength you need for today? This world doesn't run on our feelings, but it does run on God's power. Put your faith in him and his promises. Well, let's notice lastly this morning, the resources of God. Moses was reluctant. God enters in and gives him some revelation. He proves his power and gives him a promise. Now we see lastly, the resources of our God, and thank God for this. Moses has one more question for God. Look at verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, that strong language. When you see that little word, O there, someone's really pouring out their heart in that moment. O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. Moses is telling God, I can't speak that well. I'm worried that I won't be able to say the right thing at the right time. God, I have some real limitations. Well, first of all, God reminds Moses that he is our creator. Look at verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? God said to Moses in chapter 3, if you'll remember, I am. But it seems all Moses could say back to God is, I am not. Moses was just looking at himself and his failures and his limitations instead of looking at God and his power. And I would just remind you today, we all have limitations. None of us are perfect. We all have flaws. We're all insecure about many of those things. We're human. And I think each of us have at least one area in our life where we say, you know, I wish I could be more like him or more like her. Or I wish I had grown up in that kind of home, or I wish I had that person's talent. And if I had that, I could really do something for God. Don't you ever feel like that? I think we all do, even Moses did. But God reminds us in verse 11 that he's made us the way that we are on purpose. If you're blind, God's made you blind on purpose. If your mouth stutters, he's made you like that on purpose. He makes the dumb and he makes the deaf. He makes the seeing, he makes the blind. And we don't have to spend a lot of time telling God about our inabilities. God already knows all about them. And I have found, I don't know about you, that I am actually much more dependent upon the Lord in those areas where I feel incapable than I am in those areas where I feel capable. Isn't it true that in these areas where we feel like we're not enough, that's when we really lean on the Lord? And that's when God is actually able to do a greater work in our life through us. You know, it is... when we give our weaknesses, when we yield our weaknesses to God, they become strength. But unyielded strengths become weakness. And Moses says, I am very weak. And God says, I know all about your weakness. I created you that way, and I'm going to use you anyway. God is our creator. Notice in the second place, God is our teacher. Look at verse 12. God says, Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. What a comforting promise. Moses, when you're going to Egypt, I'm going to be with you. And you feel incapable in this area of your speech, so I will give you the words that you need to speak. I will be your teacher. And I think this is a specific promise made to Moses, but did you know that God has made similar promises to us in his word? He's promised that the Spirit of God would be our teacher when we come to the Word of God. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that when you sit down to read your Bibles in the morning, that the Holy Spirit wants to open your eyes to the truth of God's Word? He wants to help you understand God's truth. That's the illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm convinced that as we step out by faith and we make the commitment to speak for God, that the Holy Spirit will often bring the Scriptures to our memory and he will become our teacher. Have you ever experienced this? Maybe you're witnessing, or maybe you're trying to teach something to your kids or to your grandkids. and you go in with a game plan about what you want to say, but as the conversation progresses and it goes maybe a different direction than you anticipated, God brings some things to your mind that you didn't really think about before. You know what's happening at that moment? The Holy Spirit is being your teacher. He's putting some words in your mind and in your mouth to speak to him. I can't tell you how many times I've been sharing the gospel with a person, and like most soul winners, I have a pretty standard way of doing it. I like to walk people down the Romans road. You've heard that before. But many times in a conversation with that person, things will go a different direction, and I truly believe it's the Holy Spirit who brings a scripture to my mind. This happens when I'm preaching often. The Holy Spirit will bring a scripture to my mind, and it is that scripture that opens the understanding of the person, and that's the bridge they walk across to get saved. What I'm trying to say is that when we make the decision to step out and do something for God that's beyond our comfort zone, we have the promise from God's word that he is with us in that moment and that he will give us whatever it is we need to succeed in that moment. And before it happens, we stand back and say, I don't have enough. That's okay, Moses, because I'm going to be with you and I'm going to teach you what you need to say. God is our creator. God is our teacher. I noticed lastly this morning, God is our helper. Look at verse 13. And he said, oh my Lord. And again, notice that little word, oh, there. Moses isn't being obstinate anymore. He's pouring out his heart to the Lord. He said, oh my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. In other words, God, send someone else to help me with this part of my ministry. Look at verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he says, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what ye shall do. So here's what's happening here. Moses comes to God with like his umpteenth objection, okay? And he says, God, send someone to help me with my teaching ministry, with my public speaking ministry. And God says to Moses, okay, because of the hardness of your heart, God's a little angry. His anger is kindled against Moses. I'm going to send Aaron and he's going to help you. But what we actually read about in these verses, and I found this incredibly interesting. I saw this for the first time this week. Apparently, Aaron was already on his way to meet Moses. That's what the Bible says. Aaron cometh right now to meet thee. Have you ever noticed that before? It means that before Moses ever even had this conversation with God, God knew the objections that Moses would bring forth, and God had already put in place a plan to help Moses in his infirmity. You see, the Egyptians were thousands of miles away from where Moses was in Midian, and God had already sent Aaron on his journey to help Moses with his infirmity. Exodus 4 and 27 records the meeting of Aaron and Moses. And the Lord said unto Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. What a wonderful thing. Before Moses had even accepted God's assignment, God had already sent Aaron to help him out with it. Can I ask you today, are you in bondage? Are you in bondage to doubt? You know, God may already have the solution headed your way if you'll just put your faith in God. When Moses was willing to trust God in spite of his insecurity, he saw that God had made a way. Look over at Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. I love what it says. It says, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their head and worshiped. Remember Moses' objection? They won't believe me. What does it say in verse 31? The people believed. And God is well on his way to delivering his people. Can I just remind you folks, as we close this morning, you have the same God today that Moses had. You also have the same choice that Moses had. You can believe God or you can question God. You can live your life by reason and doubt or you can live by revelation and deliverance. And when you finally come to the place you allow God to move you beyond your doubt, you'll see that God has only begun his delivering work in your life. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this passage of scripture. It's one that has often given me much encouragement as a person in ministry. The truth is, pastors and preachers aren't the only ones that feel unqualified at times and unable. All of us struggle with doubt. all of us struggle with our feelings of inadequacy. Help us to remember, Lord, that our faith is in a God who can do anything. And all we need to do is live by faith, and you'll be with us, and you'll help us, and you will qualify us to do what you have called us to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.